The Air Force is campaigning to get rid of the A-10 aircraft program, but the numbers it's using to justify killing the A-10 aren't the real numbers, according to Mandy Smithberger. She's director of the CDI Strauss Military Reform Project at the Project on Government Oversight. Mandy, it's great to have you on the program. Welcome. Thank you for being here today. What's the story behind this? What's the data that the Air Force is passing around to justify getting rid of the A-10, and why does it appear to you that they're cooking the books? Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So the data that the Air Force is passing around is selective data about fratricide rates and the rates of civilian casualties by the different airframes being used. And what we found when we really looked at this data is that they were cooking the books by looking at selective time frames, not giving contextual data like kinetic sorties that would actually put this information into context, and really just trying to paint the worst picture that they could of the system and not have a comprehensive conversation and keeping classified data that would put this information into context.
Let's dig into this a little bit. You write on the blog, and we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. The numbers were cooked by time frame. The chart comparing civilian casualties starts in 2010. Why is that a problem?
So one of the reasons that is a problem is that if they had widened the time frame to include 2009, for example, they would have had to include a B-1 incident that killed up to 147 civilians, which would have made the B-1 by far the most dangerous platform for civilian casualties.
You write, the Afghan Independent Human Rights Commission estimated 97 civilians killed. The Defense Department hasn't disputed that. When you talk about fratricide, is that you're talking about friendly fire?
Right, that is friendly fire.
The second item that you write about is that the Air Force's data doctoring went so far as to exclude all wounded U.S. troops, all killed or wounded Allied troops, and all wounded civilians over the same time period. What difference does that make in the research that you did?
So in the research that we did, again, that would make the B-1, among others, a much more dangerous platform. And if the information had been included, then it would have turned out that the A-10 was the safest platform.
And that's really the point that it appears that you're getting at here, not to dispute the numbers here, there, or on and on, but to use the numbers to demonstrate that the A-10, rather than being what the Air Force says is a dangerous platform, is the safest of the other platforms. And the chart that you have on this blog includes not just the A-10. This is about civilian casualties per 100 kinetic sorties. The AC-130, the F-15E, the F-16, F-18, B-1, and the AV-8. What is your sense of what happened here exactly? Is it your sense that this was an oversight somewhere, or what do you take away from this from this data use?
So what we really take away from this data use is that it was selected in such a way to continue a campaign against the A-10. Important context for people who have not been following this issue closely. In addition to this latest effort, you've had a major general post who has said that anyone who speaks to Congress about the capabilities of the A-10 is committing treason. You have allegations of investigations against whistleblowers within the Air Force who are expressing concerns about the decision to retire the A-10. So we really just see this part and parcel of a terror campaign against those who disagree with Air Force headquarters.
According to your research, you write the A-10 produces nearly five times fewer civilian casualties per firing sortie than the B-1. But when you consider, you write, this is on the Pogo blog, when you consider the A-10 makes at least two to three times as many firing passes per kinetic sortie as the B-1 bomber, the comparison becomes even more lopsided. All right, I'm a greenhorn here, Mandy. What, explain that to somebody who doesn't, and you've never been in an aircraft like this in my life.
So for this, what you really need to keep into context is that the A-10 is one of the most frequently used platforms for close air support. And so when you're looking at this data, you need to keep in context how often this platform is being used. And really what this data doesn't even capture is how many lives are saved by using the A-10.
So the takeaway here is essentially that you believe that this is information that the Air Force put out on purpose to justify the campaign that they've undertaken to get rid of the A-10.
Yes.
What's been the response since you've started to publish this data, Mandy? What have you heard from the Hill? What have you heard from inside the Pentagon and from other places?
So even with the initial reports about this data before we put out our analysis, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee and Senator Ayotte of New Hampshire both expressed concerns that this data was not complete. And it was as we dug into it more that they have really come to see this again as part of this campaign against the A-10. We've also heard from ground troops who have talked about how important this platform is. And of course, since this analysis has come out, the commander of UCOM has requested to have more A-10s to support his campaign in the Ukraine. So in all of these instances, what you're seeing is that this is still a platform that is needed and relevant to the wars that we're fighting, and that there's strong support in Congress as well.
You do advocate a solution here to sort through all this, and it's the Government Accountability Office. What would you like to see GAO look at regarding this aircraft and this program, Mandy?
So we would like to see GAO to look at the same time frames, 2001 forward, look at the rate of kinetic stories, and really look at, okay, so what is the safest platform when it comes to fratricide? What is the safest platform when it comes to civilian casualties? And really, what is the most life-saving platform? What is going to be the most combat-effective platform? It's important to have an independent look that so we don't have to keep on fighting with the Air Force. Let's just have an impartial party look and assess what is the best platform to protect our troops.
So you've mentioned a couple of members who are not pleased to learn about this information. It'd be pretty simple for any of them to get the GAO to look at this, right? All they have to do is ask.
Correct. And we're hoping that they will. The one constraint is that it obviously can be difficult for the GAO to turn around this kind of analysis in a quick way. So we're hoping that this can be a review that can be timely so that it will be useful to the senators and members of Congress as they mark up their National Defense Authorization Bill.
With the folks, though, that are on the side of the A-10 in Congress, and with the historic reputation that Congress has for putting programs into the budget that the Pentagon says it doesn't want and doesn't need, should if I'm a supporter of the A-10, should I be that concerned that it's going to go away that quickly, that GAO wouldn't have the ability to do the research it needed in time to, I'm using air quotes, to save the program?
I think that there is enough evidence to date that merits keeping the A-10 platform and not retiring it. But I'm hopeful that the GAO will be able to move quickly enough that, you know, the program can be saved.
But, I mean, the Pentagon wanted to get rid of it last year, and I don't remember if the year before or not, and it got put back into the budget and into the NDAA, and it's entirely reasonable to think, especially now that especially Senator Ayotte, but the other Republican advocates are in the majority, that the A-10 is likely to stay in this year, I would think.
We're hopeful, but we think it's going to be a fight. I think there are some people who think that this is an old enough platform and that other platforms are capable of performing this mission. But what's most important is that when you talk to the ground troops and the actual operators, that they tell you that is not the case.
What do you think the next step beyond the GAO is for this? I mean, does it then come down to taking that information to the Armed Services Committees and them deciding that they need to do whatever they need to make sure this platform stays in the budget, or is there something else?
It's taking this information to the committees, and, you know, you have to figure out how you're going to be able to pay for keeping this in, given the other priorities that they have expressed. You know, cutting the F-35 buy might be one area that they look for these cuts to be able to make the budget balance.